Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to this episode of This Dude Started Something. Today, we are joined by a man who wakes up earlier than anyone we know just to make sure your morning tastes better.
A man whispered about in kitchens across America. A man parents warn their children about when they're eating too many carbs.
They call him the Yeast Beast. A man who can smell when dough is ready from three rooms away.
And apparently, 50 Cent is changing his hit song Candy Shop to Donut Shop after trying one of our guests' donuts. Ladies and gentlemen, it's so Luke Parada.
I take you to the candy shop. I let you the lollipop.
Thank you, boys. I appreciate the hype, and I appreciate all those true statements that have been spread throughout the nation.
Of course, man. Well, we appreciate you being here today. We have this viral question that's been asked hundreds of times. Where'd the word donut come from? Everyone knows about dough. Who added the nut?
So apparently, like, the origin of donuts, I guess it started, like, I can't tell you the exact year, but originally it was started on a ship because apparently donuts were, like, easy to make back then. So in order to, like, feed people while they were traveling on the seas, they would make them on the ships because, like, it was easier dough to make than, like, cakes and stuff like that. And people wanted stuff that were sweet. Yeah, I don't know. I think it was originally just, like, a plain donut, like the ones that you would dunk in your coffee and they absorb, like, sponge cake. So just like those. Yeast, I think, came a little bit later because yeast is a lot trickier to deal with than cake is. But, yeah, the name donut, though, like, I don't know.
Right?
You get the idea, like... You know why they call it dough, but, like, why it's called nut specifically, I'm not really sure on that.
I have a theory about that, actually.
Hit me with it.
I have no idea. This isn't, like, a true statement by any means, but I'm thinking maybe they're taking the idea of, like, a fruit seed, otherwise, like, a nut, maybe. Like, I don't think about, like, an avocado. You open it up, in the center, there's, like, a nut, like a seed in there.
They're taking out
the center of the donut, making it maybe like a seed. Like, maybe you throw the little donut hole in the yard and it grows a donut tree.
Yeah, that I wish, man. If that's how donuts work, that'd be great. But then you wouldn't need me then.
Exactly.
That's true.
Also, why is the hole there?
Yeah. Well, now there's some donuts that don't have that hole. We call those shells. Like, those are the ones that you fill, like, with jelly and stuff like that.
Yeah. Dude, I've never heard that official term.
Shell. Yeah. There's, like, so, like, when we do it at the donut shop, we call our yeast donuts two different things. The rings are the ones with the hole in the center of it because it looks like a little ring. Mm-hmm. And then the shell, I guess just we call it that because it looks like a little turtle shell. So kind of cute.
Okay.
But, typically, yeah, like, we only really make two different kinds of donuts. There's, like, cake donuts, which are just made with, like, wheat flour, water, and you crank those out into the fryer. And then there's the yeast donuts, which are a little bit more complex, where you mix them on a mixer. You need to give it about like 30 minutes, 40 minutes for that yeast to activate, to rise. And then after that, you put them into loaves. Then you cut them into like those donuts I was talking about, like the shells and the rings. Mm-hmm. And then you put them into a hot box and you let those sit for about like 40 minutes to an hour. Those get nice and big. They puff up. Then you take them out. You got to put them on a rack, let the air kind of hit them. Because if you put donuts into a fryer immediately, like when they're still wet, the problem is, you know, as you know, oil and water don't mix together. Mm-hmm. So you got to make sure that nothing wet goes in that fryer, or else you're going to get like pops of oil like coming back. Mm-hmm. Like it's going to plop onto your skin. You get like burns, you get scars, stuff like that. So you got to be very careful when it comes to that.
Oh, wow.
Did you learn about that through like trial and error? Like, have you ever had a mishap with the fryer?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Through the years, there's been a lot of different problems. Like, believe it or not, weather has a lot to do with your baking process. Because if it's very like muggy outside, like during the summertime when it's hot, that's going to make all of your yeast donuts particularly wet. And so, like I said, like, when you put them in when they're wet, you're going to get a lot of like feedback from the oil, like popping back up at you. Or on top of that, they'll absorb a lot of oil too, and they'll become like really greasy. So you got to make sure you kind of account for that by like, don't add any steam in your box, like when it's super hot outside, because the moisture from the kitchen, it'll absorb into those donuts. So you got to, there's like a lot of different factors that go into how they come out. Like most important thing is like how you mix it, though. Like how it comes off that mixer is how it's going to come out of the fryer. So a lot of different nitty gritty.
Can you tell, like, can you tell when a donut's like a thunder donut, or like something that's been involved in a hurricane, or like, you know what I mean? Can you tell when it's a steamy donut?
Yeah. Like, can you tell like before all that stuff happens pretty much? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I said, like if it comes off good off the mixer, then you're going to have a good time cutting it. You're not really going to run into a lot of issues unless your equipment starts failing you. But like, you'll know if it's too liquidy of a dough. Like, you don't want to make it too thick, or else they're going to come out dry and small. But you need like a nice, happy medium. Like, kind of, I'm trying to think of like a texture that you can compare it to. Like a little bit softer, but thicker than pizza dough bread, because pizza dough bread is completely different from donut bread. I've had a bunch of people that worked at like Jets that have come over and like baked for me, and they'd be like, "Dude, this is a completely different ball game." You know, and so they get
intimidated. It's probably way harder, honestly. Mm-hmm. The process seems crazy. Also, I want to talk about cutting them. How do you cut them?
We've got specific made cutters. Depending on the type of donut you make, because like outside of those rings that I was talking about and the shells, we got our own cutter for those. So like, I roll them out on the table, and then after you roll your dough, you got to do what's called shrinking it, which is when you get like a spatula and you go underneath it and let all the air from underneath it go out. So then it like retracts. Because if you cut it when you roll it out, then they're going to shrink on you. You know, they're going to retract. So you got to let that air from underneath go. So then you get like the full donut. But yeah, besides that, like, I also have other cutters for like what we call our fancy donuts, like the eclairs, like, you know, like those maple bars and stuff like that. Like that, we make bow ties, which are pretty much just like, I cut two ring donuts, and then I widen the grip on them just so they're a little loose, and then I pull one of them through the other one, and then you make like a little bow tie out of it. And so there's like, there's a bunch of like cool combinations and stuff that you can do. You're not just limited to that. Like, I've seen people, bakers over the years, like, make hearts, stars, squares, stuff like that. So like, it's up to your imagination pretty much what you could get away with.
Yeah. Have you ever made a massive donut? Like, basically just maxed out your fryer?
Yeah. So we used to make these big donuts, like, they were like cake size that you can feed probably like 20, 25 people with. Dude. But the problem was like, they took so much dough up, and you can only really get away with mixing so much dough on the mixer before you have to do like a complete other mix. And that takes like usually 4 hours to do. So most of the times when we bake, we just try and mix like that one loaf and then that's it for the day because each is 4 hours. But yeah, with one of those, it took like an entire, I want to say like...
I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
20-pound mix or something like that just for one of those. Yeah, but they were really pretty. Like, we would decorate them for, like, birthday parties, celebrations, graduations, weddings, stuff like that. So like any occasion, but we stopped doing those big donuts because, like, for one, they were very time consuming. And two, I think it's a little bit easier to just sell like the small donuts instead of just like that one big one, just for convenience sake.
Dude, one time me and Braden went to the back of a grocery store and tried to decorated cake. Bro, do you remember that?
Yeah. Which now, realizing all that goes into it, I would never be able to do that.
Like, yeah, we were horrible at it. Yeah.
It kind of got work in there, or did you just go back there and
no, we just decorate. Went back there. We got yelled at. Brayden, you were writing on it. Know what I'm talking about?
No, yeah, I remember what you're talking about.
We kinda, South Carolina, I think.
Yeah, which no, it wasn't. It was in Lee Summers' chopper.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was Harris Teeter.
No.
Or is it the Lakewood chopper?
It was the Lakewood chopper. It kind of seems like donut making is a hard skill to learn. And do you think, I guess, do you know your family history? Like, has it been in, like, were your ancestors some, like, making donuts on the boat, like you were saying earlier? I just feel like it's something that has to run in the family. You know what I mean?
So, like, the funny story behind it. So, like, the whole origin of the donut shop, like, it started with my grandfather back in 1966 on 4th of July, actually. So Independence Day.
Oh, wow.
And so before he even got involved in like owning a donut shop or even thinking about that, he was a police officer for the city of Dearborn in Michigan. And he was with his partner one day and they were just on patrol or whatever. And they say, oh, let's go stop for coffee. Let's get, like, you know, something to give us a kick, you know. And so they go in there, and you got to remind, like, this is during the 60s. Like, we had the big three in Detroit still. So, like, all the automotive workers, you know, after their break, they're going to the coffee shop. They're reading the paper, you know, just to entertain themselves. And so my grandfather hears in the coffee shop that they're sitting in, like, the cash register opening like every 10 seconds, like he hears ding, 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 ding. And so he says to his partner who's sitting across from him, like, hey, these guys might be on to something. Maybe we should get into this business. I mean, think about it. The register's opening every 10 seconds. Like, it's a gold mine. Yeah. And so he's like, you know what? Yeah, why not? And so they scouted out this place, this spot on Ford Road, which used to be like a vegetable garden. And this was before, I don't know if you're familiar with like Michigan geography or anything, but this is, Ford Road is like one of like the biggest roads in Michigan. Like, a lot of people are going like from Detroit to like Canton or Taylor, you know, like it's one of those main roads. So this was before it was even made or even paved. And they put this building on the corner before the road was even there. And the first few years, they weren't making anything. Like, they, no customers whatsoever, just because, like, location seemed bad at the time. But then over time, as that road started to finally complete itself, then we started getting a bunch more people stopping in from like on their way to work, you know, to get a coffee or get donuts. You know, they would bring them to work too. And through word of mouth, then it would spread and be like, hey, you should try this place back in Dearborn. And so over the years, then finally we started getting accustomed to it. And it was, you know, there were trials and tribulations at first, you know, we didn't do good in our first few years, but, you know, over time through, you know, trial and error. Plus my grandpa, you know, when you just first start something, like you said, you're not really going to know exactly what you're doing. You're going to fail a few times.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, you know, I remember him telling me specifically, like, he had trouble baking a few times, and he had to go end up taking, like, a few classes out of state. I think he went to, like, California or something like that to learn. And he learned from a bunch of professionals. Then he came back, and then he taught what he knew to, you know, who he's trying to train on as the new baker. So really, it's like, you don't have to have, like, a college education or anything like that. It's a trade, you know, which is really valuable to know. But at the same time, not everybody can adjust to it, you know, because it takes like a full...
Yeah, no, it's very difficult.
It's very difficult. Like, it takes a full year in order to really know how to bake. Because like I said, like with weather conditions and stuff, baking in the summertime is a lot different than it is baking in the wintertime.
That's so crazy. Know? That's so crazy.
Yeah, I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
I know.
You got to think of all the different temperatures, like whatever water that you're putting into your flour, your dough, you know, is it going to be hot enough because it's cold outside? Do I cool it down because it's so muggy outside? It's very hot, you know, like you got to think about all those factors or else, yeah, you're going to have a nightmare. And I've had my fair share of those too, like when I first started baking, but, you know, you just got to pick yourself up afterwards. Sometimes you're going to throw some donuts away in the trash, but just keep working until you get the ones that you don't throw away.
Dude, that's so on brand for your grandpa, like going from cop to donuts. Like, do you think he started that trend?
You, like, it doesn't it sound like a setup to like a bad joke or something?
Yeah.
Like a cop walks into a donut shop.
Yeah.
This is really random. If you were a donut, what kind of donut would you be?
What kind of donut would I be?
Yeah.
Probably like your old, how can I? So like we've got a donut called a honey dip, but it's basically just like a yeast glazed. And like everybody loves those donuts. They're the best ones when they come out right out of the oven and they're nice and hot. Whoa. Tastes just like a flapjack or something in the morning time. It's really good.
And everybody loves Luke. So it's just...
It just goes hand in hand with each other.
Yeah.
Wait, so is that like a typical like glaze or...
Yeah, like we call them honey dip. You just... It sounds good. Plus, like, I put a little bit of honey in my glaze, like, when I mix it in the morning time.
Oh, just to give it, like,
a little sweet edge. Plus, it makes the glaze shine a little bit more, too, when you do that. So, yeah, they're just, like, your regular glazed donuts that you'd find, like, I don't know what kind of donut shops you guys got by you, but...
We got Krispy Kreme and Dunkin'.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, picture, like, the Krispy Kreme glazed donut, like, that one, but, like, way better though.
All right. That's what I've heard. That's what I've heard.
We have like Lamar's donuts. Have you ever heard of that?
Lamar's.
No shot.
Are they like a smaller one or?
I think so. Yeah.
I think they're smaller than Donutville.
Probably.
Now, how would you recommend them? Would you think they're all right?
Yeah. I would say they're pretty good. I'm a big fan of them based on just sheer size because I don't like being the guy that's like, I'll take like four glazed donuts. So there I can just be like, oh, I'll just take one like Long John because it's like massive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, they're huge then. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They're big.
Gotcha.
They're
very big.
Like a
foot. I mean, expensive I think they're running too? Britain, right? But yeah, they're definitely expensive.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, I mean, you guys are in New York, so it's already expensive as it is too.
Brayden's in KC actually. And that's where the Lamar's is.
Yeah.
Oh no. Oh, okay. I got you. All right.
Yeah. Brayden, what do you get from there?
What's that?
What do you get from there, Lamar's?
From Lamar's, I haven't been since I was like 10 probably, but...
Prices probably went up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I was going with the Long John. I would maybe get like a Long John with like a two regular donut, you know, combo.
Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, that was my go-to for real. But...
what do you like custard or do you like jelly more?
Like, are you talking about for the filling?
Yeah, for the filling ones.
Dude, I like some cream in there.
You like cream, Oliver? Damn,
yeah, dude.
I'm not a filling guy. Like,
Colmena Seguros presenta una historia imparable.
Cuando uno de mis trabajadores sufrió un accidente en la empresa, sentí miedo. Pensaba en él, en su familia y en todo lo que podía pasar. Pero la verdad, ese miedo duró poco, porque Colmena Seguros estuvo a nuestro lado, guiándonos y acompañándonos para que la recuperación fuera más rápida. Hoy mi empresa sigue adelante, con la tranquilidad y respaldo de Colmena.
Colmena Seguros, la aseguradora de las empresas que no paran de salir adelante.
Y la Superintendencia Financiera de Colmena. Colmena Seguros, una empresa de Fundación Grupo Social.
Just like the Boston cream, say less.
Boston cream. There's Boston cream, and then there's like that You ever Bavarian? Hear buttercream? Like buttercream filled donut?
That sounds good.
Yeah, I think so. Is that one like kind of more yellowy?
No, the yellowy one is like the Boston cream. And then buttercream is like, you know, like...
that one's almost icing. Like whipped cream. Yes.
Like that. Yep. It's probably like the worst donut you can have for you because it's like... It's a lot of sugar. A lot of sugar in it. But I mean, it tastes good though.
Wait, that's a good question. Like, how much sugar is in like one of your donuts? Do you have like nutrition facts?
They're probably about like... close to 500 calories, I would say. It depends on the donut you have, though. Because like I said, like the filled ones, those are probably going to have more in them, like compared to like a honey dip or like even like a plain cake with no glaze or sugar on it. Mm-hmm. Those are probably more like 150 to like 200 calories, like the plain donuts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the worst one you can have for you is like probably Boston cream or buttercream, even though they're really good, though.
Yeah, they're so good.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a donut, it can't be like, how bad is a donut for you if it has no glaze on it? It's just like a
just cake.
It's just a cake, you know. I mean,
it's cake. I mean, everything, and you got to take it in moderation because like too much of it, you know, is clearly not good. But yeah. I mean, you'll be fine if you have a few donuts a day. People have them for breakfast all the time. Sometimes, you know, they'll have them for desserts. Mostly like where we get our business is like dinner time, I would say.
Oh, really?
Dinner, like for donuts, I would say. For coffee, more in the morning time, you know, people on their way to work, they need to wake up. Donuts are more either like a work function. Yeah, you bring them to work, or they're getting them for like after dinner or like something that they throw at nighttime. It's mostly like evening time people eat the donuts. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about coffee.
Yeah, I was about to
dive into that.
I also want to know. I want to know, like, when you took over running the shop, when was that? Was that recently, or how long you've been running it?
Yeah, so I'm third generation technically. So okay. I started taking over like right when COVID started, which was like the worst time to start.
Wow.
Yeah.
I still have my dad with me though, but he had a heart attack like during the middle of COVID, which, you know, he luckily survived. But mm-hmm. since then, kind of been like taking a back step just so he rests, like there's not too much stress on his plate. But yeah, like during COVID was a little tough because of all the CDC guidelines and regulations they had during that time. And everything was new. So we tried following them as the best we possibly could. But at some point, I believe during the summer of 2020, like a few months after it all started, we ended up getting a ticket from the city of Dearborn because we allowed somebody to use one of our restrooms like during the whole pandemic.
That's crazy.
Which was like the dumbest thing because like we didn't allow anybody to eat inside, of course, because you know they weren't allowing that, but a lady wanted to use the restroom, and we had like these what would you call, like these ribbons up to kind of prevent people from like sitting in our dining area, so like we had like precautionary tape and stuff, but we figured, all right, I mean, she needs to use the restroom, I'm not going to deny that person, you know. And so her husband ended up sitting down for like a few minutes, and then not even like 5 minutes later, almost like we were being like scoped out or something like that, a police officer comes in, starts yelling at the guy sitting down. Then the wife comes out of the bathroom and she starts yelling at her. Then finally, I go out there and she's trying to argue with me, saying that we disobeyed guideline, you know, safety protocol. And they write us a ticket, which could have gotten us our food handler's license taken away. And so we had to fight against that.
Yeah.
And we ended up hiring this lawyer. And over like the course of a few months, we ended up winning that case and they threw it out because like we technically really didn't violate any of the guidelines because, you know, they asked for nobody to sit down and eat. They can't loiter around or anything like that. And this person was just using the restroom and then leaving right afterwards, you know. So they made like a whole case out of nothing. But the problem was, because of all of that, people online started to send us like death threats on our Facebook accounts and our Instagrams and stuff like that, saying that we were hypocrites for not following the guidelines, even though they didn't know the whole story. So they were just throwing insults out at us. And so it eventually ended up in us deleting a few of our social media accounts just because of all of that going on. But once we won the case and everything was thrown out, even during that, business was really, really good because people were coming in to try and show their support through all of that. And it was good. Like, there was a lot of community building moments during COVID. So it was tough, but at the same time, like, it was really cool to see like everybody that was in our corner, and those people to like this day still come in. So I'd like to think that like we did pretty good through that.
Yeah. How did those people sending you death threats even like find out? Like, was the press, were you getting bad press or something?
Yeah, dude,
they were getting bad press.
I don't know how it is with the cities that you guys live in, but like, we have like what we call City of Dearborn page, which is just like official news, like community news, everything. Everything gets put on there. Like a car accident happens down the street, there's an article or something on that. And like word of mouth spreads and people, you know, started talking, and then it gets shared on other social media platforms and it creates a conversation. So yeah, those people just found it. And you know how people are. Some, they just like to instigate and start stuff. So you know, we had those people, but then we also had people defending us, which was cool to see. But yeah, luckily all that blew over. We now we're back on social media. We've got our Facebook page back up and running. I don't think we boost, or I don't think we have our Instagram back, but we never really posted on there much anyways. So everything blew over pretty well, I would say.
That's good. Do you think that old lady was like undercover or something? She like called the police from in the bathroom. She's like, hey, they let me in the bathroom.
That's a good theory, but I don't think so. I don't, because like this lady and her husband, like they were a really sweet couple, and they were, they themselves were like kind of taking a glance at like what's going on here. You know, they were taken back by that. So I don't, off of genuine reaction that I saw from them, I don't think so. I just think that like during that time, unfortunately, there were a lot of like officers and cities that were scoping places out because it's just an easy ticket to issue, you know. Yeah.
Cop probably bought a donut afterwards too, bro.
What's cool is like we don't typically, like we got a lot of officers that come in all the time, and a lot of them are really cool. Like we've got a lot of good cops in our city. It was just this one who, you know, I can't give names or anything like that, but like apparently like this officer, she had like a big reputation on her about like fighting with people that she pulls over and like instigating fights and stuff like that. So like it wasn't like hard to believe, you know?
Yeah,
for sure. So something I wanted to ask you was like, when you took over the donut shop, I guess minus like COVID and all that, what was something that you changed about the business that was different than how your father ran it, that you're proud of, maybe that you're like, think maybe you got more business, you know, like what's the entrepreneurship move that you made when you took over?
No. So I try to like implement like seasonal decoration, stuff like that, like try and like boost the vibe, I guess, a little bit of the shop. Like, a lot of the times we wouldn't take orders that involved like decorative, like, oh, we want blue frosting and purple or like all that type of stuff. Just because sometimes it gets, we have like one person working behind the counter, typically like at a shift. So we don't like to over encumber them with like a bunch of stuff to do.
Yeah.
But I go in there every day. So like when it's Halloween, we'll start making like Halloween themed donuts. We're like, I bring one of my coworkers in and we'll start making like Frankenstein monsters on some of the donuts. We'll do spider webs. We'll do stuff like that. Like we just did that for Halloween. Yeah. And then, you know, like when winter comes, we'll make winter themed donuts. Sometimes we'll make like snowmen or reindeer or something like that. That's stuff that my dad never really did. Like he's done it a few times, so I can't say he's never done it. But as far as consistency's sake, I started doing that a lot more. Another thing that I changed, not entirely, because we've always had like staff of varying ages. But since I took over, we mostly have been hiring a lot of like high school kids to college age kids. Whereas before, we had a lot of like elderly people working behind the counter, which is good because, you know, they socialize and converse with a bunch of people that come in, which is really important. But now I would say since COVID, it's been kind of hard to get like an elderly crowd to come in or at least to work. So I've been hiring a bunch of like high school kids, and that had its trials and tribulations because like some people just aren't meant for customer service or, you know, those type of jobs. So you've got to sift a few of them out and see like, okay, like who's good behind the counter? Does this person like talking to people, or are they just going to be straight faced monotone and, you know, hate everybody that walks in? You don't want somebody like that, or else they're going to kill your business. Yeah. So 100%. There was a lot of that, like screening people, making sure they're good. But I've had the same staff for close to 2 years now. So we've been doing pretty good. They're all great kids. Like, I shouldn't call them kids because now they're getting older now. But, you know, it's been pretty good. I've been blessed with a good staff.
That's good. Well, that's probably just like good hiring too.
That too. Yeah. Sometimes you could tell right off the bat, but other times, like, you got to give them a few days and then you'll start to see like, okay, this person's not really that good. You know,
yeah,
but it's all professional. There's, you know, never any hard feelings or anything when firing a person or telling them, hey, it's not going to work out. You know, I at least always try and leave the door open, you know, so I'm like, hey, it's probably not going to work out now, but maybe if you work on it or yada, 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 I'll tell them whatever they got to work on. Then, you know, maybe you can come back in time. The only times I ever really close that door on people are when they don't show up to work. Or if you catch them stealing money out of the register, or if they start stealing like a few dozen donuts or stuff like that, because some people do that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
What do you do at the end of the day? Sorry, I'm like curious. Like, do you let employees take home donuts at the end of the day, or do you guys normally like sell out? Just a quick question. Then Braden will hit yours.
We normally sell out, but my thing is like, and I tell everybody that works for me, like, hey, when you're working, you know, get a drink. You could get a drink, eat a few, do a couple donuts or something like that. But like, once you start taking like over a certain amount, like you're taking like more than six donuts or something like that without paying for it. Or some people walked out with like four big cups of soda where I'm like, okay, come on, dude. You like, you can't just take that for free, you know? So I'm pretty generous until they start doing that.
Dude, that's super generous. Six donuts is hella generous. I'd probably cut them off at like two.
Probably like two or three. Typically, that's how it is. I'm just throwing a number out there. But yeah, you can't let them take advantage of you or else it's just going to happen all the time. So I cut the head off that snake before it grows.
That's good. All right, Braden, you go ahead.
What was it like firing your first person? You know, I think that's something that a lot of people don't know how to do until they have to do it.
See, like, a lot of people, they like in other positions where they're like managers, they tell me they get like a power trip out of it. You know, I hate having to do it. Like, firing people is like one of the worst things, but it's necessary. You know.
Yeah.
But I feel the first guy that I ended up firing, it was kind of funny because, like, dude, it was like my first one. So I kind of did have that power trip and I started screaming at him. I'm like, I got you on camera. I saw you steal out of the register. Don't bullshit me. And so he's like,
he stole cash?
Cash. Yeah. He ended up
stealing. That's way worse than donuts.
He tried stealing like $100 or something like that. And I'm like, dude, that, like, what made me angry was he kept lying about it, even though I'm showing him on camera. Because, like, people do that. As soon as you point them out in a lie, they're going to try and deny it. You know, that's just human nature. And so, it got me angry to the point where I'm like, I was like, all right, enough's enough. And then I go to, like, my back door in our kitchen. I open up wide for him. I'm like, get out. Get out. We're done. We're done here. And he's like, please, please give me another chance. Please give me another chance. And I don't know. Something about him just lying, like after like the evidence is right in front of his face. I was like, no, we're done here. So that was the first person that I fired. And in retrospect, I'm like, when I fire people now, I'm a lot more, I don't get heated like that. You know, like I said, like even when people steal with me, and you fire them, you don't really want to give them a reason to get pissed off. If that makes any sense. Like you want to try and handle it as professionally as possible. So then that way they can't say, you know, anything bad about like, well, my boss was an asshole. He was screaming at me on the way out or whatever. The more rational you are, like the more your case holds up, if that makes any sense. So yeah, from that point onward, like anytime I had to fire anybody, which I mean, I haven't had to fire a whole lot of people. But the ones I have, like, yeah, you keep it as calm as you possibly can. You let them know, like, hey, this is what you did. I can't have you behind my counter if you're going to be stealing. You know, yeah. I can't trust you. So you're done, you know, and that's typically how it goes.
Did you end up paying that guy, like, for that day?
No. When they steal, I'm like, okay, congratulations. Keep that money because that's all you're getting.
Oh, you let him keep it?
Yeah, because then I just didn't pay him on the paycheck. Like okay. After you work the full shift, yeah. I'm like, all right, well, there's your money. If that's your pay for the day, that's it.
Yeah, so, which yeah. I wonder what like that's crazy. I wonder what like legal implications that involves. It's, you know what I mean? Like if they,
well, like Luke could press charges, but probably
I could, yeah. But you know, a lot of the time, it's not worth it to go over to court over like what $100. You know, I try and handle it as best I could by myself. And then if you got to involve like police, that's if like they're refusing to leave and they're just instigating and trying to cause some sort of drama or trouble. At that point, then you call the cops. But I don't try to unless it gets like violent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've had people steal from you before as well, right? Customers. I've seen that on YouTube. Luke stops the thief.
Now today, this goober decided to help himself to a free complimentary dozen. But he's not going to get away with it. We're going to make him think he's going to get away with it. But in actuality, like a good employee that I am, I'm going to come out from the back and approach him head on. Now this asshole thinks he got away with it.
Colmena Seguros presenta una historia imparable.
Cuando uno de mis trabajadores sufrió un accidente en la empresa, sentí miedo. Pensaba en él, en su familia y en todo lo que podía pasar. Pero la verdad, ese miedo duró poco, porque Colmena Seguros estuvo a nuestro lado, guiándonos y acompañándonos para que la recuperación fuera más rápida. Hoy mi empresa sigue adelante, con la tranquilidad y respaldo de Colmena.
Colmena Seguros, la aseguradora de las empresas que no paran de salir adelante.
Y la Superintendencia Financiera de Colombia. Colmena Seguros, una empresa de Fundación Grupo Social.
But unfortunately for him, move the fuck out of the way, buddy. Those are my donuts that you didn't pay for. Better luck next time, asshole.
Oh, yeah. What's good about the donut shop is, like, we don't really have much that, like, you can just take off the counter and try and steal. Like, the most you're probably going to get away with is, like, day-old donuts, which are, like, throwaway. I don't want to say throwaways because they're still good, but, like, we're not losing anything off of those. But yeah. I've caught people trying to take those. And, yeah, there is a video of me of, like, this guy trying to take a dozen donuts off the counter when I go into the back. And we have a camera in the back kitchen, so I can see what everybody's doing out in the front. And he tries going right to his car without even acknowledging me. And I rush out there, push him out of the way, get into his car, take the dozen of donuts, and then tell him to never come back here again. And the look on this guy's face was so funny. I wish I recorded it. It was so good.
Dude, that's awesome.
And I never saw him again, thankfully. So, yeah.
Dude, that just shows how much you care about the business, how much you care about the donuts, man. Because it's like a lot of people are just letting that go. I mean, dang, dude, you really.
Yeah, he was the one to get shot over donuts.
The yeast beast, you know what I mean?
Dude. Yeah, technically, in retrospect, it's kind of dumb because, like, I didn't know if that guy was gonna pull something on me or anything. But
yeah, like you got in his car.
Dude, he almost made you a donut, bro. Like,
oh shoot,
he could have, dude.
That's good.
That's crazy. Dude, I was I remember my question from earlier, and I always do this, Luke. I always remember that I forget. But
oh, dude, me all the time too.
So yeast, bro, is so, it's like magic. I don't even understand it, and you seem to know a lot about it. And I just want to know.
Yeast beast.
He is a yeast beast. So how does it work? Like, isn't it the stuff that makes it rise and stuff?
Yeah, yeast is technically alive. It's a living organism. It's like think of it kind of like a fungus, you know, like how like a fungus over time, it'll start to kind of grow and expand. It works the same way like that. But the thing is, after a while, that yeast will start to die, which like it's usually like over 4 hours you've got to like cut and fry everything, or else everything's going to start to kind of deflate and it won't grow anymore. It's just going to get dry and shrivel up. So you've got 4 hours to work with your yeast. And as soon as the yeast hits the fryer, which is about like 385 degrees, that yeast dies. So as soon as it makes contact with that oil, it's dead. Like its job is done. It starts to cook. And then by the end result, once you pull it out of the fryer, then you got yourself a donut and it's all made.
So is that why it would be dangerous to like eat a raw donut like before it's cooked, is because the yeast could, is that dangerous to eat raw yeast?
Eating living yeast?
So like yeah, technically, don't quote me on it. I think you could get salmonella poisoning if you eat like raw yeast, or at least like too much of it. But if you ate like a little bit of it, you're gonna be fine. Like there's this customer that's been coming in for years. His name is Hank, and he'll come in the back, like right when I'm at the end of my yeast, like when I'm done baking everything. He'd be like, "Hey, you got any leftover dough?" And I'd be like, "Yeah, what do you need?" And he'd be like, "Can I see it?" And I'll be like, "Okay, here's a little bit of it." And he eats it raw. And whoa, I'm like, dude, what? Like, why, dude? Because, like, listen, I've tested that theory before. I was like, I wonder what it tastes like raw. You put, oh God, dude, it is the worst texture. It's so bad to just put raw dough in your mouth like that. I think if you ask Sydney Oliver, she'll probably tell you because she's done that too. But he just eats it straight up. And he told me, he's like, yeah, like ever since I was a kid, like after my mom would bake, I would eat the dough afterwards. So he just got used to it over time. Yeah, and
I love how he just walks in the back and asks you that in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Like a certain number of donuts that you get like platinum pass to like Donutville, and then you can go in the back.
Yeah, I guess he's got the platinum pass. Yeah, we've got customers like that have just been coming in since like the 70s or the 80s, where it's like they're pretty much like family at this point. Like we've known them so long, so they'll just come back and be like, "Hey, what's going on today?" And, you know, we don't let them near, like, the fryer or anything else like that, you know, because, you know, safety, health violations and stuff like that. But, like, you know, they come in the back. They'll stand near the door. We'll have a conversation while I'm rolling stuff out and cut. It's a very social job, you know, because it's customer service at the end of the day. You're dealing with different people. But it's kind of cool because you people watch. You get all different types of personalities that walk in through the door. So it's sometimes they're abrasive and you got to deal with like some asshole from Detroit walking in. But, other times you get like a bunch of cool people, and it's really cool to see, you know, who comes in consistently over the years, you know?
Yeah. That social aspect is probably pretty, pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, no, 100%.
Tell us the story of the person who ordered a dozen donuts ate them and then called to complain.
I'll never understand the logic of that. I don't get it. Yeah, like Oliver was saying, I was working a morning shift one day and this person calls in saying, first off, I answer the phone. I'm like, "Hi, Donutville, what can I get for you?" And I had a bunch of like other people like in front of me. It was kind of loud that day and I couldn't really hear them on the phone. So I'm like, "Hello, hello." And then, they get irritated with me because of that. And they're like, "Well, you're very rude." So like we're automatically off the bat, like this person's being abrasive. So I'm like, "I'm sorry about that. What can I do for you?" And they're like, "Well, I want to call in to file a complaint." I'm like, okay, well, what's the problem? What can I do? Well, we ordered a dozen donuts and we brought them home and ate them and they taste like shit. And I said, what? Like, they're not good. All right. Well, can you bring them back? You know, maybe I can take a look at them. I could either give you a refund or I can swap them out with some good ones. And then afterwards they tell me, well, we ate all of them. And I'm like, so wait a minute. Hold on a second here. You're calling in to tell me they taste like shit, but you ate the entire thing before you realized they taste like shit. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's crazy.
And so, you know, I tell them that, and then they get mad at me. They're calling me, oh, you're a son of a bitch. You're unprofessional, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, listen, man, at least it doesn't take me 12 donuts to realize whether I like the thing or not. And then they ended up hanging up on me.
Dang, dude. They're trying to get some free donuts. That's crazy.
Yeah.
A lot of people do that stuff, you know? And it's like, like I said, I'm generous to a T, but like, when you tell me something like that, I'm like, dude, come on. You're wasting my time here. If you didn't like it, then you wouldn't have eaten the whole thing. Come on. So.
That's so crazy, dude. I figured out how yeast works. Like, so it's alive, as you said.
Yeah.
And it says by consuming sugars in a process called fermentation, it releases carbon dioxide gas and alcohol. And I think that's why it rises and gets bigger, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
With the alcohol, yeah, that's like if you're making beer, like, because you can also use it in beer fermentation.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, with donuts though, it works that same kind of way. Yeah. So yeah, the science is right behind that. That's good.
Okay,
guys. Apparently, donut was the original name for the donut hole, and then the donut hole became the donut.
Oh, so the donut hole came first.
Donut hole came first, and that was a donut because it was just like a nut of dough.
Bro,
were they cake first?
It's on Reddit. I don't really know how accurate this is.
Yeah. It probably would have to be cake. Because, like, those are the ones that you can just fry, like, right off the bat. It
says the Dutch called them oily cakes.
Yeah.
They're just balls of dough dropped into a kettle of hot hog fat. Wow.
You can fit approximately 5.2... how many is that? Times 10 to the 10th power of donuts in the earth.
Wait, what?
Oh,
that seems too small. Okay. That seems way too small.
Well, can we figure that? How do we figure that out? It's 5.2 times. Yeah, that does seem kind of small. Wait, into the one of the earth. That's crazy.
Dude, are you calculating that yourself? That's insane.
Yeah, that's just off the top, dude, off the dome.
Shut up. That's wrong. That's so wrong. Because that's only 50 billion donuts.
Yeah, I feel like it'd be more, wouldn't it?
I feel like I could fit that in my apartment.
No, wait, are we talking about donut holes or are we talking about like the actual donut though?
The actual donut. Probably like a shell. Probably like a turtle shell.
Is that from Chad or is that from what's that from?
That's just Google AI. I don't know.
They're lowballing it. I think it's higher than that.
You think so? I mean,
yeah, Luke's donuts are way
it's
more,
gotta
yeah.
be.
That's how many calories are in them. But whatever. That was just a little fun tidbit there.
Your daily fact for the day.
Exactly.
Have you experimented with the fryer at all? Like, do you ever dip anything else in the fryer?
No, because you don't want to. Okay. Actually, you know what? Hold on a second. Yeah, we did at one point. But the thing is, typically, you don't want to mix. Anything else in that fryer, like if you put any animal product, you've got to change that oil like immediately. Because the thing is, another fun fact about the fryer, if you're dealing with stuff that's just strictly sugar based, like the donuts, like typically, like if you were working at like McDonald's or something like that, the oil that they use to fry all that food, they've got to throw that away, essentially, like, at the end of the day. They can't reuse that because it's got a bunch of, like, the old, like, the animal product in it. Yeah. And that can lead to bacteria and you get sick from it. But with donuts, you don't typically have to filter it every day. We do it like once every 2 weeks. The reason that you don't is because the sugar and like all the stuff that burns off the donut, it'll seep to the bottom of the fryer. And if that builds up after a long amount of time, then you're going to get a fire.
Huh.
Every 2-3 weeks or something like that. Then you got to filter it out. You take all the oil, you put it in like this big vat, and then you scrape all like the gunk and stuff that's been building up over like the course of a few weeks. Scrape all that out of the fryer, make sure it's like whistle clean, throw that shit in the dumpster, and then you recycle that same oil through like a filter and put it back into the fryer. So like you don't have to waste that oil with donuts. But yeah, like I said, if you put anything other than the donuts in that oil, like there is one time somebody that was working our midnight shift when we used to be open 24 hours, they took it upon themselves to like fry chicken in that fryer. Like they turned it on, and the reason we found out about it, like they didn't even tell us that they did that. But the next day, like when you notice, like you turn your fryer on, if something foreign besides like the donuts is in that oil, you get like these bubbles, like this foam that kind of starts adding up at the top of your oil. And it looks discolored. It looks weird. So you're like, okay, somebody put something into here. Mm. And yeah, like we called our midnight shift person and they told us they were frying chicken or something in there. And we had to throw all that oil out, had to clean the fryer and then restart again after that.
You should have made them do it or make the high schoolers do it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think they ended up actually helping. Like they felt really bad about it. So, yeah, like you can't put anything else in there. Other than that, one time, we knowingly did this where we shut down for like a day or something. We made a bunch of pierogi in the back and we fried a bunch of those. Like if you guys ever had pierogi, do you know what those are?
No.
They're like kind of like, how can I describe them? Polish dumplings.
Okay.
So it's like you could put a bunch of sauerkraut in them. You could put potato. You could put cheese. You could put like whatever you want in them. You wrap them up, you kind of fold them, and then you fry them, and then they're like these
like ravioli.
Yeah, like ravioli is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
So yeah, we shut down one day, and like a bunch of my family, we fried those back there.
Dang.
That's probably the only thing I could think of where we used the fryer for something other than donuts, though.
Have you ever thought about having Thanksgiving at Donutville?
You mean like family Thanksgiving? Like we all go there?
Yeah, like use the kitchen to make some like special Thanksgiving donuts or something.
That's a good idea. What kind of what sounds like a good Thanksgiving themed donut to you? Like what would be a good flavor?
Maple.
Ooh, yeah.
Maple.
Like cinnamon, yeah. Like some fall.
A little maple cinnamon. Yeah.
Yeah. Pumpkin.
Yeah. Yeah. We had all those like around the time of like September, like all those flavors come into stock. So we've had those for a few months.
I think it'd be fun to have like the family kind of gathered in the sitting area. Like it'd just be fun, you know, and like you're back up.
We've done that like a few times before. Like I said, like the pierogi days were like around Thanksgiving. But as far as like a meal, like cooking there, no, we haven't done that though. That would be really fun though.
Yeah.
Have you ever done live music there? I know that you got your band. Have you ever like performed at Donutville?
Ooh.
Dude, I would love to do that. I think that'd be good one day.
Because you have like a big parking lot too. You could like set up a stage outside.
Yeah. The only thing I'm worried about is like if cops would pull or, you know, shut us down because it might be like a distraction. Because I have thought about doing it, and it is possible with, like, extension cables and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that also kind of leads into, like, another topic where, I probably wouldn't do that because of, like, it distracting drivers. Because one time, we had these lights around our building for nighttime. They were, like, these nice orange ones that lit up the building at night. And the city of Dearborn made us take all those down because, quote-unquote, it had the potential to distract nearby drivers that were going on Ford Road. Meanwhile, like you go down the street, everybody's got their neon lights on, they're flashing and stuff. And so like we had to take ours down. Everybody's kept theirs on. People hate us, man. They just target us.
You're on top, man. People hate when you get to
exactly. They hate to
see
you win.
They hate us because they ain't us.
Yeah.
Probably, it's probably like a ploy from Dunkin' Donuts. Like they're just calling us in every hour or something.
Yeah. They got spies out there.
Yeah.
Dang, dude. They're taking They're taking your ingredients and stuff. Dang.
They're taking notes.
They're adding honey now.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they'll be adding honey after this podcast comes out.
Yeah, exactly. All right, dude. Me and Braden were wondering this big question.
Yeah.
Have you ever run into a donut digger? Basically, has any girl hit on you because you run a donut shop and you have access to all these donuts? Because, you know, everyone loves donuts.
Dude,
a lot of girls be going for the donuts these days.
Donut digger, dude. That's that's a good term for it.
Yeah, dude, you got to watch out.
Dude, not just girls. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Everybody, dude. Everybody wants like a free in for them. Wow. Yeah, 100%.
Colmena Seguros presenta una historia imparable.
Cuando uno de mis trabajadores sufrió un accidente en la empresa, sentí miedo. Pensaba en él, en su familia y en todo lo que podía pasar. Pero la verdad, ese miedo duró poco, porque Colmena Seguros estuvo a nuestro lado, guiándonos y acompañándonos para que la recuperación fuera más rápida. Hoy mi empresa sigue adelante, con la tranquilidad y respaldo de Colmena.
Colmena Seguros, la aseguradora de las empresas que no paran de salir adelante.
Vigilado Superintendencia Financiera de Colombia. Colmena Seguros, una empresa de Fundación Grupo Social.
Get a bunch of those people.
Yeah.
But
like once you start running the shop, they just start blowing up your DMs and stuff like, yo, free donuts, put a donut on me, type stuff like that.
Well, they haven't done anything creative like, you know, put a donut on them yet, but, you know, here's hoping.
Yeah, dude. That's wild because you're making the dough and the donuts, bro. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, you can be really creative with donuts, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Man. Well, what's crazy is that, like, you know, you've brought up a lot of stories today about that people don't think about when opening their own business and stuff. Like, I mean, people probably don't even think about, like, oh, if somebody came in and stole my donuts, or the city's telling us to take down the lights, just stuff like this. Like, I bet a lot of it's probably surprised you. But what's kept the family business going through all those challenges?
Like mentality wise, I don't know. A lot of the times what gets me going, and I don't know if it sounds cliche, but it really is my staff, you know, because it has been like changing throughout the years. But like a big reason that like we shut down like for a couple months during the beginning of COVID, you know, but then we open back up just because like we were bored and like we wanted an excuse to like get it out of the house and like actually do something, you know, and see each other. And like that's what kept it fun, you know, because it's like it's a business, you know, at the end of the day. So like, of course, you know, you got to get shit done, like you got to make sure everything's rolling as it should, but at the same time you got to have fun, you know, and keep a good in work environment, keep banter going all the time. Like we'll just argue with each other sometimes over stupid shit, but like it's a lot of fun. Like we've got a lot of different people over the years, some of them that have died, some of them that have left, but they'll still come back just to like check up on everybody that works there, be like, hey, how you doing? So I would say, like, long story short, like just seeing each other, you know, that's kind of what kept it going. The community is really good. Like every time I have a bad day, let's say, I'll go up to the donut shop and there will at least be a few people that I know up there that you just shoot the shit with, you know?
Yeah.
And it's cool. It just brightens up your day. So like probably that, I would say that's what kept us going all this time. Otherwise, I mean, if we didn't have a good community, I would say screw it, you know. But we've been blessed.
Yeah, that's a great answer. And speaking of screw it, if you had to say goodbye donuts like forever, where would you go? What would be, I don't know, your occupational choice if donuts weren't an option?
Well, you could always lease out that property, because people have been trying to take our property from us for years, like offering, you know, I'll give you a few million, you know, for it. And it's just like, sure, you know, like it sounds great in the moment, like a few million dollars, but the longevity of it is, it's like we've been busy, you know, for years. We're going on 60 years by next 4th of July.
Wow.
So, so cool. you know, longevity wise, it's worth it to stay in business as long as people keep coming, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But once, you know, if donut shops, God forbid, ever, you know, cease to really be popular, then yeah, I mean, I guess my plan B would be, you know, lease that property because it's still a really good location. Like yeah. when you're opening a business, geography really is everything because that determines your traffic flow. Like who's going to stop by, who's going to drive by your building and see your sign and be like, I might stop in there. Yeah. You know, like that's a huge factor. Like wherever you're deciding to open up a business, you really got to think hard about that.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. Yeah. How many cars per day do you think you get on Ford Road? Wait, actually you guess and I'm gonna look it up.
Okay. Are you talking about that stops at the shop or are you just talking about that drives past?
Just drive by.
Dude, per day. That's a great question. I'm gonna say like 30,000.
Oh my god. Yeah. An average of 30,000.
I was right. No way.
No.
An average of 30,000. That's crazy.
I swear to God, I just off the top of my head, I was actually thinking I highballed it. It is 30,000.
It says like Dearborn Heights posted today's Friday fast facts, an average of 30,000 vehicles travel the Ford Road / Telegraph Road every day.
Oh, okay. Shit. Oh, that was a good shot in the dark, but you learned something new.
Yeah, wow.
Dang, dude.
That's crazy. I thought it was going to be like more. I don't know why I was going to super highball
it. 50,000, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably on a good day.
What are some like advertising campaigns you've run throughout being there?
To try and market?
Yeah. Or do you think the donuts sell themselves?
Yeah. Luckily, we haven't really had to do anything like, you know, like, we rented out a billboard or something like that on I-96. We haven't done anything like that. Like, we usually get a bunch of customers through word of mouth. And it's always like shocking because like I get people that come from like different states, like people from like Texas will come in and be like, well, we heard of you guys like through our relatives or yada, 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 or online. And I'm like, damn, you guys heard from us all the way from like Texas. That's insane. That's awesome. And they make the drive. They do it, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, I'd imagine like we do a bunch of like catering for colleges or high schools, stuff like that. Mm. And so I just imagine it's word of mouth that, you know, people, it'll spread. They'll be like, wow, these are really good donuts. And so we get a bunch of traffic from that.
Do you have TikTok?
We don't have TikTok.
Dude, Sydney's
been trying to get us to get a TikTok. Yeah.
And you should do it because like maybe just like day in the life, every day you pull up, the first thing you do, quick 30-second video, no edits, no nothing, but it's just you and the camera, what you're doing that day, maybe like a fun story, and then just post it.
It would be fun. We definitely have the right people for that, I would say. So
but
that
also
is a
like,
good idea.
Like the way me and Brayden look at this is even if like we're fortunate that people actually do watch these, but if people didn't, we just look back in like maybe 20 years from now and have it, you know, like cool conversations. So it's like the same with you. Like even if no one watches it, then you have all these memories. You know,
it's still sentimental. It's like, you know, we had those times. That was awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like that a lot. That is a good idea. Probably
really
in the future.
For sure. I think you should start it because I think people would. Like when you have a skill like donut making or really anything, dude, if you like kind of cut it, the video right and everything, put some music on there, people will watch that. Like
people
love
food.
It, like you say you're doing like holiday decorations on the donuts. Like, bro, the people would like seeing the end product, you know, like throwing it in the fryer, seeing how it comes out, glazing it, dude. I mean,
there's a lot of cool videos we can make out of that. So honestly, boys, I think you're cooking. We probably be on the lookout. We might have something coming out soon. That'd be fun.
Good. We'll drop in the show notes. Yeah.
Yeah. You're really cool.
That's fire.
You suck.
Cool, dude. You got anything else, Oliver?
I'm just looking at these. Wait, I see this picture, of, you. Wait, I don't know if it's you. It's, your grandpa and your dad. And then I think it's you and like a blue.
Yeah. Is it like, I think I'm wearing like a blue shirt or something like that.
Yeah.
That was, I can't remember when that was taken. I think 2005, 2004 or 2005 or something like that.
Wow.
But yeah, that's like, that's an iconic photo, man. Three generations of the donut shop.
I know. All that's photo. So cool. Wow. Yeah. Maybe we'll put that as like the cover or something.
Do it. Yeah, that's a great photo. I love that.
Bro,
yeah.
Honestly, Oliver, I think we should start like changing our covers to like something more personal for the guests, like a old photo of them or something. You know,
that's
like,
a great idea.
Cool. Yeah.
Because it just looks like vintage, it just looks cool, you know?
Yeah. Wait, you mean like the whole thing?
Screenshot?
Luke, how did you, like, with this being a family business, I kind of had a similar question to this earlier, but how did you, like, find the passion within yourself when it was kind of like, not necessarily, I mean, it was like handed to you, I guess, not in a bad way. I just mean like.
I was born into it, you know? Like,
how did you. You find the passion.
He still had to prove himself.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like I said, I mean, a big reason that kind of kept me around was just like, I like the atmosphere of working there, if it makes any sense. Like
yeah.
Baking, yes, it's difficult. It takes time. Like you're not going to get it immediately. And I've had my fair share of fucking up when it comes to it. But I don't know. I've always liked just like the whole routine of it, you know? Because, like, as a baker, you're not, like, yeah, I go in early to try and get it done, but it's, like, you're not, it's not like you have to be there at a specific time. Like, oh, God, I got to be there at 6 a.m. or else, like, everything's off, you know? As long as you're not starting the bake super late to where it's going to screw over whoever's working in the afternoon shift that has to, like, work with the donuts, you know, like, then, you know, you go in at your own time, get a cup of coffee. I got my speaker right next to me, so I'm blasting my tunes when I'm doing it. I love doing that. You get a bunch of people that coming in and out, they'll talk to you. So you see a bunch, you get your social interaction in for the day. I get a midday break once I'm done with all my cakes and I loaf my yeast. So then I go get lunch for like a little bit. You come back, I'm there for another 3-4 hours, and then I'm done, you know? So it's just like the consistency of it and the routine. It's pretty good. And like most people that have baked with me that I've tried training, they'll probably tell you the same thing where it's like, it's one of the most fun jobs you can have, you know, cause you're working, but it's like, it's so chill. As long as you know what you're doing and you've got it under control, it goes really smoothly. And so like, I just kind of liked that aspect and doing it over and over. I've been working there since I was like 13. So I also had that privilege of starting at a young age to where, you know, I've gotten used to it. I got to grow in love with it over time. So I just think it's a fun job. It's just really fun. And like, we've got good crew. So I can't complain about like, oh, I got to work with this asshole today or anything, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a good environment. And if you guys ever come to Michigan, you guys should definitely stop in because I think you'll see what I'm talking about.
The only reason I ever go to Michigan.
Yeah, dude, I want a custom donut.
I'll make it for you, dude. Absolutely. Anything you guys want.
Dude, that's sick, man. That's so cool. Bro, you got to have like a 60-year anniversary party or something.
Yeah.
Dude, we got to, I don't know. I got to brainstorm some ideas, but we should do something special for Big 60 next year. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, man. That'd be awesome.
Some summer thing, yeah.
Something summer theme. Yeah, maybe we'll do like something in the parking lot. That could be cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's perfect because it's on 4th of July, you know?
Yeah.
Dude, could we glaze a person?
Ooh.
You could, yeah.
Think about that.
You could, but I don't think that might be going on a different website, though.
Dang,
I'm just thinking about that. What if you're just covered in glaze?
Would it kind of like ice over and then you're just kind of like.
That's what I'm thinking.
It would be sticky. Do that for the 60-year anniversary, glaze ourselves. Oh my God. It would be like, you know, like when you ever like dip your finger or something in like wax. I don't know if you've ever done that, but it'd probably be like that where it would dry and
that
then
feels
get like
cool though. Yeah.
It does, yeah.
Dude, honestly, you could like if you start a TikTok page, I feel like you could go international with this with Donutville, bro. It'd be like Donut Nation. But I could just see you being the guy that's like you glaze yourself every day before work. Which is like a thing everybody knows. Is like, yo,
yeah,
go to the shop. The guy will be glazed. Like he, yeah, and you're just like, you're like barely moving because you're like stuck or whatever.
Dude, imagine the reels of that. That would be going insane.
Or you just get people to follow you because you're like, all right, guys, on the 60th anniversary, I'm getting glazed. I'm glazing myself.
Yeah. Oh, God, dude, that would be a cursed image.
That would be awesome. We got to do that.
We'll make it for next year.
That's fire.
Dude. Have you guys seen the bowling alley guy? The guy who's like started the bowling alley? He's going viral. He's like redoing
it. Recently it just happened?
Kind of, but I feel like that could be similar to you. Like people love young people with businesses, and I feel like you would have a massive following, especially because it's food. It's something everyone can participate in. Like
for sure.
Yeah.
It's a great
food. Little bit of humor with a bunch of the customers that I got coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Absolutely. It's not a bad idea. I think we're cooking on it.
Yeah. Like, it'd be so cool if you, like, just, like, you were the one to take it to the next level, dude. Like, I don't know. I mean, you already have. I mean, but it's just, it's cool. The opportunity.
We can only go up from here.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's exciting, man.
It is, yeah.
Well, how about we ask... We don't want to take too much of your time, but we should ask real quick, what would you say to like the beginner entrepreneur out there that wants to open their own business?
Yeah, I would just say kind of retreading stuff I said earlier, like make sure you're opening up in a good location. You want to make sure you're going to get a lot of traffic around, you know, people see your business, hear about you. If you don't succeed at first, you know, keep trying on up until it becomes detrimental to you. You know, like if you feel like you're putting in way more money than you feel like you can afford or invest in, then, you know, maybe reconsider. But give it some time, because like even when we first started, we weren't getting immediate success. You know, it took a few years before it did. And then finally, you know, we hit our peak. You know, we started running on the ground. We figured it out. And we've just been keeping up with it for 60 years now. And eventually you will become comfortable with consistency. So don't give up unless you feel like you're at the end of the rope. You know, I put all my money into this. Don't think I'm going to pull out. But other than that, keep going. Be passionate about it. If you're going to start a business, make sure you know what you're starting. A lot of people tell me they're going to open up a donut shop and they've never baked or done anything before and they're just going to wing it. Have a plan. Don't just try and wing it, because there's a lot of money that goes into it. And you want to give it your all. Know what you're doing.
That's great advice. And last question. How much is a honey dip?
A honey dip runs for, we're in 90 cents now.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Dude, that's a steal.
That's actually really good.
Oh my God.
I don't even want to ask how much they cost over there, guys. Oh, God.
Yeah. Ridiculous amount.
I mean, that Krispy Kreme was pretty... What did we pay for that, Oliver? It was...
Like
I mean,
$5?
Yeah, it was like probably $5.
Yeah, we're cheaper than Krispy Kreme.
And they're smaller than your guys's, I think.
See, not a lot of... There are some that still make their donuts in-house, but a lot of, like, Krispy Kremes or, like, Tim Hortons or whatever, they get theirs imported from a big factory. Ours is in Detroit, so like they get them imported from there. Mm-hmm. But like a lot of the times they come from one factory, so they're never really that fresh, and they're overpriced. Luckily we beat them by price, so I think we're pretty strong on that.
So everyone listening, make sure you go check out Donutville USA. Get your honey dip for $1.90 in Dearborn, Michigan. That's like right now. In the future you can probably get them like anywhere.
Colmena Seguros presenta una historia imparable.
Cuando uno de mis trabajadores sufrió un accidente en la empresa, sentí miedo. Pensaba en él, en su familia y en todo lo que podía pasar. Pero la verdad, ese miedo duró poco, porque Colmena Seguros estuvo a nuestro lado, guiándonos y acompañándonos para que la recuperación fuera más rápida. Hoy mi empresa sigue adelante, con la tranquilidad y respaldo de Colmena.
Colmena Seguros, la aseguradora de las empresas que no paran de salir adelante.
Vigilado Superintendencia Financiera de Colombia. Colmena Seguros, una empresa de Fundación Grupo Social.